People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon introducing you to this week's edition of People of Note. And interestingly, this week we're going to be concentrating on Bloemfontein, because I, for one, had no idea until a few years ago just how active and successful the School of Music was at the University of Bloemfontein. And with me in the studio is Marius Kutsier, who is an Innovation and Development Manager, as well as Artistic Director of the OSM Camerata in Bloemfontein. And in fact, Marius, welcome, first of all, to Cape Town.
Thank you so much. Always and good to be here.
The reason you are here is because you've just attended the Fiesta Festival, haven't you, or the awards, because you were nominated. The orchestra was nominated. Just tell me about that.
First of all, it was a magnificent evening, but, you know, in my opinion, classical music, it's not all well in South Africa, especially, and we're educating all these musicians. What's going to happen with them?
Yeah.
So I had a colleague, Conroy Cupido. He's from the vocal department of the NUW School of Music, and he came with a suggestion that we work together, and he produced a production, Handel Masterpieces, their singers, our orchestra, and we had a first concert in Mart, and then we had a concert, the Festival Art Club. And it was just magnificent to work together with his singers. So that was it. It was a great collaboration.
Sorry, where do they come from? Is that from...
That's Potchefstroom.
Potchefstroom.
Northwest University School of Music.
So it's a tie between those two schools.
Yeah, and I think that's really the thing. We're in a survival quest in South Africa, and we must really take hands. And in fact, quite the opposite is usually happening. As soon as you're going into survival mode, it's then when the trouble starts. So it is really great to take hands. And you don't need to be specialist in everything. So they have this magnificent singers. We have a good orchestra, and it was really great to work with him. And he produced a whole collage of Handel masterpieces. It was choral parts, solos, whole interesting program, really curated. It's clever. And then we were nominated for the best classical music production.
Did you win?
Unfortunately not, but that was beside the point.
That's beside the point, absolutely. But what has startled me, and you've sent me a whole lot of information here, is that the OSM Camerata has won many awards and been nominated for even more. And from what I remember of them, they're a very fine ensemble of young people. But it keeps winning awards, both here and internationally.
Yeah, I'm very proud of them. And I think the main objective is really create a catalyst for excellence. Mm-hmm. It's not always so easy there in the Free State Plains. We are quite isolated. And it was really important for me when I founded the orchestra and to really position it as a catalyst for excellence. So it's a band of approximately 20 members. And we make use of a lot of 20-something mentors, some young South African mentors abroad, to come and coach them and teach them all the time so that they have this influx of young South Africans already made it as role models that work with them, instruct them, and then we go on stage. And we also do a lot of different music. And originally, the ensemble was erected as an ensemble mainly of new music. But I made a few compromises with the band, so we do a little bit of baroque and also music that's not performed quite so often.
And also featuring local composers.
Exactly. I think we premiered since 2012 approximately 16 to 17 new pieces South African composers.
Wow.
And it's fascinating, the whole creative process, because we not always don't have all the instruments. So the composer literally choreographed the piece on the band and our capabilities, sound, palette, what we have. So I think it's also for the kids a wonderful process.
But it's a traditional orchestra, isn't it? You've got the strings, woodwind, brass, and percussion.
Yeah, but it's difficult. You know, sometimes we don't have a horn player, for example. Mm-hmm. This year we don't have an oboe player. And then you always have to make compromises with the works. It's not always easy. And if we have a bit of extra money, we of course hire in a specialist. Mm-hmm. But it's not always possible.
And for a long time, I think until quite recently, the person who won the second Len van Zyl Conductors competition, Xavier Klute, has been your conductor, hasn't he?
Indeed. He was for 6 years the principal conductor, and he really led us to quite wonderful highlights. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 years, we won the first and the second international ICTUS music competition that's produced by an American in United States of America. And it's quite interesting because you make a program which you record and then you send it in, and they have a group of six maestri. They evaluated and then they selected the winners from that. And we participated in the category for university conservatory orchestras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Without wanting to sound, I don't know what word to use, arrogant, it's almost a best-kept secret in South Africa, the OSM Camerata, because, as you say, Bloemfontein is quite isolated compared with Johannesburg and exactly. Cape Town and possibly even Durban. And yet, as I discovered, as I said at the beginning, there's this wonderful excellence there, this marvelous Camerata, and the proof is in all these awards.
Yeah, and the thing is, we have also the FSSO, Free State Symphony Orchestra, which I think is one of the best-kept secrets in the country. It's a wonderful orchestra with about 80% professional players, and then the rest is made up of our students, and then they play under their mentors. And we recently had we had Gerard Korsten, we had Connie van Alphen, we had also a lady last year. So I think it's wonderful for the students to have that in the Free State, that possibility to really reach that highlight with all the different phases of orchestral playing. I think there's not another university that had that possibility to play with that. Mm-hmm. And okay. We want to extend that also to the Rotterdam Full, so for really the top of the students to go for a month's internship. And I'm currently also negotiating with the CPO to do similar, that the top students can do as part of their internship a few concerts a year, if possible.
And the Free State Symphony Orchestra, is that what it's called?
Yes, FSSO.
Is that a full-time orchestra?
It is not. They have X an amount of concerts every year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Artistic director is Alexander Falkens, and then they make use of different conductors.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there was last year, I think, six or seven foreign conductors, and it was magnificent to see the diverse elements and what they can reach with the band.
And also how stimulating for the students, the music
exactly.
students, to be surrounded by not only the OSM Camerata, which they could join if they wanted to, but also with that orchestra around and those standards.
No, that's a wonderful.
Well, let's have our first piece of music, and I think we're going to hear the OSM Camerata now, aren't we?
Yes. We start with a short piece. It was an interesting project. I asked quite a few South African composers to rework certain pieces, ancient pieces. And this is the well-known double chorus by Jacobs Gallus called Duo Seraphim, Two Seraphim. And he reworked it. It's a double choir, and he reworked it for four little orchestras.
Now, that was the OSM Camerata, and they were playing Maurice?
Duo Seraphim by Jacobus Gallus, arranged for us by my colleague Lance Philip.
Okay, but now, unusually, we're going to take a second piece quite quickly, tying up with that. Just tell me what's happening now.
It's another piece by a South African composer, Hendrik Hofmeyer, very fond of his work, and in fact, he created quite a few works for the Camerata, which we performed in St. Petersburg, and a few years ago, we premiered also his double concerto for harpsichord and recorder, which we were performing this year again. This piece originally started actually for piano and harp, and then developed into another collaboration, which was for a trio, cello, flute, and piano, and then he rewrote it for us, and it's called Notturno Elegaico. Beautiful piece.
Music there by Hendrik Hofmeyr. Maurice, what was that? Just remind me what that was.
Notturno Elegaico, beautiful piece by Professor Hendrik Hofmeyr.
And that was the OSM Camerata. Maurice Kutsiers with me here in the studio of People of Note this week on Fine Music Radio. And we're talking about the OSM Camerata, this remarkable award-winning orchestra at the University of Bloemfontein. And Maurice is the Innovation and Development Manager as well as Artistic Director of the OSM Camerata. And are you able to record a number of your works? Because I'm sure it would be good to keep these performances somehow. I mean, we've got recordings here. But have you been making some recordings of them?
We made a CD, actually, on a New Zealand classical music label. It's in your library, in fact. You never play it.
Oh,
may I reprimand you? It was an initiative by South African cellist Milien Duplessis, who's the professor of cello at the University of Dunedin. And Hans Hiessen composed a work, Cello Concerto for an African Cellist. Or Concerto for a African Cellist.
I was there. Yes. You invited me to Bloemfontein for that very evening.
Yeah, and it was quite successful. And we were nominated for the United States Violoncello Award for that CD. So that's what we have. But I think it's time now to make a new CD. I want to make a CD of all South African music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a road less traveled, and we try also to curate, you know, music that's accessible. It's difficult for South African works to be performed, and we have a passion for that. And of course, to keep the students enthusiastic. I'm not sure they're always so enthusiastic about my obsession with the music of our times. So always make a few compromises, a bit of Handel, a bit of Baroque. to keep both sides happy.
Maurice, you mentioned just now about St. Petersburg, and I'd briefly forgotten about that, because not only does this orchestra win prizes, but it has travelled, for example, to St. Petersburg. Yeah.
Well, that's ages ago. In 2013, we performed at the International Conservatory Festival in St. Petersburg in the Glazunov Hall, which is a beautiful venue. Wonderful conservatoire, and it was great because you really had all the top conservatories from all over the world. It's a festival they hold annually. We had a guest conductor then, Jan Moritz Onken, who's these days having quite a bit of success in Berlin, the Silk Road Symphony Orchestra, I believe. And we performed there an all South African program with composers like Stefan Schrevier, Hendrik Hofmeyer, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So these people who are part of the OSM Camerata, they are fundamentally students?
They are fundamentally students. Here and there we use an alumna, you know, if we need an extra person, but they 20 students. And then we add sometimes a lecturer or, you know, sometimes if we don't have an instrument. Last year we had a bit of shortage on the woodwinds. And then we hire in somebody.
Okay.
But it's primary students.
And then when the student has finished their degree and leaves, does that mean they automatically end their association with the orchestra?
Well, we often invite them back sometimes. I think I have a plan in the future to invite a few soloists back. Yes.
Okay. I also liked what I read here about your flagship chamber orchestra, because you apparently founded this orchestra, Marius. You were the strategically founded this orchestra.
Yeah, it's not a flagship title. It's not always appreciated, but nevertheless, the whole idea strategically was to really find a collective entity that can really serve as a catalyst for excellence. And I think we achieved it in some way or another. And I think it's also important for the students, you know, sometimes because we are so isolated geographically, students, you know, always think of the north-south extremes. And I think it's good for them to know they don't have to be shy.
Do your students come from all over the country to the Free State University? What would you say the attraction is there?
I think the objective is for us, really, we have a wonderful performance faculty. I think apart from UCT and Stellenbosch, we have the largest permanent performance faculty. And we really have quite a few young movers and shakers that they are all 30-something, studied in conservatories all abroad. We have Dandré Strædom that studied in the Gent Conservatory of Music, and she was also playing under a mentor in the Brussels Phil. We have George Foster, who was a Fulbright scholar. He studied in the United States. And we just, in fact, appointed Annika Lamont as our new piano lecturer. That was a very good strategic move. Mm-hmm. She's, of course, a passionate chamber musician, wonderful to collaborate with the Odeon String Quartet.
And a lovely person.
A lovely person and a great musician.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you.
So I think
and
that
very
was a good
versatile.
Move.
Very versatile. Very much. Congratulations. So. Yeah. So you see, twice now you've said you're in the middle of nowhere, isolated, but I have to repeat this, when I was there on two occasions, I was very struck by the atmosphere on the campus. Just the way the students look, there's a tremendous enthusiasm and there's a buzz, isn't there, Marius?
Yeah, I think we also try to really keep the students internationally informed, and I can honestly say we present the most international masterclasses than any other music academy in the country currently. Gosh. And we also make use of tuition via video. So we have quite, once again, I really focus on junior experts, and then of our concert. We have a concert agency in-house, and with all the international concerts, which is funded by Institute of the Performing Arts, a strange Free State organization, but with lots of money that support that and really enable us. So all the visitors also give masterclasses, and then students can be passively observing it and or either, yeah. Just participate. And then we started with different kind of music chairs. About, I think, in 2015, I erected the Lisbeth Schlumberger organ chair. South African used to be known as Lisbeth Kirpeshoek. She's the professor of organ at the Lyon Conservatory. And she's coming every second year for 2 weeks, working intensively. And that's, of course, always open to all South Africans. It's not limited to our own organ students. And then she's giving 2 or 3 concerts, building on old music, current music, French music on the different organs. and then working intensively with the students. And the idea is now to find a bilateral agreement with Lyon, and that we can, the students can also go and study, that they continue studying with her. Our local organ lecturer is Dr. Jan Birkes, and I think that's developed very nicely. What is wonderful is that my colleagues took their own initiative, and that's fantastic. Anne-Marie van der Westhuizen, Professor Anne-Marie van der Westhuizen, started a yearly string chamber music symposium, and then she recruits with her team a young string quartet, always some 30-something, really in a good state, and then they work for a full extended long weekend intensively with the students. It's every night concerts, daily tuition, and yeah, I think it's great. And Dandré Strædom has started international clarinet symposium. She's of course a buffet artist, so she has a certain capacity to bring in quite a few people. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, on the same. She's always commissioning their new works for clarinet concerto. We did the concertino commissioned from Keith Moss, currently residing in New Zealand. I think he's also now associated with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra. And then the FSSO always do a new work. And then there's quite a few specialists that's coming during the week. Also local, all the clarinet students. And I think that's really important that our students, because our problem is that we have big fish in a small pond.
Yeah, and, I can imagine.
And it's really important that we focus on the international affairs.
Before we continue, because I want to ask you something about, you know, what I was going to say was this is very good news to hear. It's a good news about music for a change, because we hear how many of our institutions, orchestras, opera companies are suffering. So this is good news. But we'll come back to that after our next piece of music, which I see. What are we going to hear now? Bach.
Yes, it's in fact a CD which was released by Antoinette Lohmann, a Dutch specialist of old music. She's currently professor of old music at the Amsterdam Conservatoire as well as Utrecht, and she has a long-standing relationship with South Africa. She's visiting UCT Cape Town quite often, Gauteng quite often. Wonderful musician, and she released a CD about 10 years ago with her own ensemble Furor Musicus, with a whole range of reconstructions of transcriptions of strings. And we're going to listen to the orchestral suite BWV 1067. Magnificent.
Thank you.
you hear what we mean by reimagined, or what reconstructed? What's the expression, Marius?
Reconstructions, transcriptions
of
this specific piece. Yes.
Yeah, of Bach's one of his orchestral.
I think it can be quite risky, especially if it's Bach. But she did it in an excellent way.
Well, it seems to be fashionable because there's that CD of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, which have been, I think he called them reimagined. Rediscovered or whatever by Max Richter.
Okay.
So it seems to be a bit of a trend at the moment. And who was playing it?
It's her own ensemble, Furor Musicus. I think it's a bunch of colleagues, both working with her at the Amsterdam and the Utrecht.
And remind me of her name. Her name
Antoinette Lohmann.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Free State on People of Note this week, and with me in the studio is Marius Kutsier, who's the Innovation and Development Manager as well as Artistic Director of the OSM Camerata at the Odine School of Music in Bloemfontein. And one of the things you mentioned before, it was very, as I said, encouraging to hear what you've just said about what this orchestra is doing, but you also said, we've got a problem in this country, haven't we? Because where do these people go if our orchestras are battling financially? And we just hope, don't we, that that pulls itself right and somehow our orchestras remain.
That's really a problem. And the situation is, are we now educating musicians to go and live abroad?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's pretty much the tendency. The cream of the crop are going as soon as possible and they never come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we also, I think, lose quite a potent form of role models. But of course, I think, irrespectively, it's going well.
Yes.
On a more positive side.
Yes.
If you see what we accomplish, irrespective of the problems we have, I think it's fantastic. And JPO is again on their ninth life.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
They always stand up again. And right. that one must respect, really.
Yeah. Well, we must hold thumbs also that people support, continue to support. Most of our concerts here in Cape Town, for example, are sold out.
Which is wonderful.
It is. So that's something to
What
remember.
Is the demographic of your audience?
It's, I have to say, still mostly white. Lots of young people.
That's really good.
Lots of young people from the university and elsewhere. And also, look, there are always the traditional people on there that have been supporters for many, many years. And because there are more and more people of color coming into the orchestra, more and more people of color are starting to come into the audience.
Yeah.
But it's a slow process. It's possibly too slow, but at least it's happening. And look at the opera, for example. Cape Town Opera has gone huge strides in developing hidden talent that's been lurking in this country and discovering it and giving opportunities. Anyhow, it's you are the interviewee, not me, Marius. So I'd like to ask you, this intrigued by your title, before we start talking about your background, Innovation and Development Manager. It sounds as though you're very involved with ideas. Well, innovation itself is a word that implies that you have to come up with these ideas. Is that what your job is?
Yes, it's a system that's quite current in the Scandinavian schools of the arts. I resided for 8 years in Finland, and there it's very popular that, for example, at the Sibelius Academy and many academies, you have this so-called kehityspäällikkö, which means the innovation and development manager. And it's a little bit of a mixed grill of many different things. So you work very closely with the executive management, and it's, in a sense, a strategic manager. Little bit of policy, developing new strategies, be on par of the latest development, research, forming of curriculum, investigating new elements, looking at new projects and things like that. The Camerata was one of the first projects that we launched. We're currently in process with a very, very fascinating project. It's a product that was actually developed for the skiing team, the Olympic United States skiing team, Nero Halo. And it's a device that really stimulates the mind. I think it's earphones and then stimulators of the cranium. And we're going to release now shortly interdisciplinary research project with our Department of Neurology, as well as a neuroeducationalist, and to see if this is working. There was two young Spanish guys from German that discovered this device and then started to use it and found that the whole kinetic response was so much easier after a session of 20 minutes neuropriming, and that you're also playing much more precisely. So it must have a tremendous influence on the brain and the neurocognition to create a whole brain effect. So that must say you must be able to concentrate, which is the problem these days, you know, with all the interferences.
Yes.
I see in the orchestra also the young people can't concentrate. And apparently it really helps your intonation, and it can, so they say, help you to learn a Bach, which you usually take a prelude, 2 weeks, that you can learn it in 2 days.
My goodness.
So we are going to launch this. We bought 6 devices, and it will be really interesting to investigate this clinically and see what's happening also with the brain.
It's not, I mean, sorry for a stupid question, it's not an implant, is it? It's something that attaches itself to your ear.
Hopefully in the future.
No, don't
but
say
it's, that. It's literally earphones on the one hand, and then some stimulators that's directly going on the cranium.
Right.
And you use it as an app, and you download it. And I suppose it sounds like a white noise. I'm not so au fait with the whole scientific thing. But the whole idea is that it's really making it much easier to learn music and really affect your kinetic response. So let's see. It's something like the forbidden doping, but it's
yes, true.
But it gives you the benefit, but in a legit way, hopefully.
Are you then, you must be the first in South Africa possibly to be experimenting with
this. Yes. As I said, I know there's quite a few people in Europe that's experimenting with it, but nobody has done clinical research in context of music.
Mm-hmm.
They call it neuropriming. So it will be quite interesting to see. We're going to start with the pianists, professional pianist, young pianist, pianist that's very average, and then a young whizkid in our target group. My colleague, Dr. Frelit de Villiers, will be in charge of the research, with Professor Moodley, the head of neurology. So I think it will be a very interesting experience. And then we want to extend it to the strings and maybe also to really try it out in the orchestra, to let the whole orchestra kind of recharge 20 minutes before the time and then go for it. I mean, you never know.
It's a little bit weird and science fiction-y, I have to say. But Star Wars. But anyway, it sounds completely fascinating, gosh, but a little scary, I have to say. So I think we need some music just to recover.
But we can also try it on you. If it
okay, I dare you. And then I might be able to pronounce things properly. Marius, another piece of music now.
As I said, I lived for 88 years in Finland, and I'm very fond of the Finnish nation, and the Finnish nation is very fond of the music of our times, but also classical music. I think in the last 20 years, the Finnish nation, which is about 5 million, has presented per capita more classical musicians than anybody else.
Especially conductors.
Exactly. And we're going to listen to the Tapiola Sinfonietta under the baton of Jonti Sturgårds, and this Finnish well-known singer called Soile Isokoski. And it's an interesting piece of music. They made a recording of the Finnish Virsikirja, which is something like the Psalms from the Lutheran Church. And this is a special work called Suojon Enkeli, and quite beautiful.
Oh,
Well, music from Finland, but I'm going to ask my guest, Marius Kutsia is my guest, and that's music from Finland, and apparently, Marius, you speak Finnish, so I should think that you'll get this your tongue around this.
We listened to the well-known Finnish soprano, Soile Isokoski, and she sang one of the Virsikirja with the Tapiola Symfonietta, and it's called Suojonen Enkeli.
Gosh. That's proof that you can speak Finnish. Marius Kutsia, as I said, he's the Innovation and Development Manager at the OSM Camerata in Bloemfontein. And why did you end up in Finland, by the way? I was going to ask you that.
I actually, when I completed my studies, I was very interested to study arts management. And at that stage, there was no place in South Africa to study it. And I got a SAMRU bursary. And at that stage, the few people that got that, it's only a one-year study, not for degree purposes in the middle 90s. And I was really fascinated about the whole dynamicism of the Finnish stars at that stage. It was really at the peak of Jukka-Pekka Saraste, Esa-Pekka Salonen, Karita Mattila. All those, and of course the Finnish radio choir and the orchestra, so I was really fascinated by that. And then I decided to go there, and I was not disappointed. Fascinating culture, especially compared to your typical Anglo-Saxon. It's quite a different world, very direct.
And can you still speak Finnish?
Well, I'm losing it a bit. I'm trying to listen to Finnish radio quite often and keep in touch with my friends on Facebook, but these days I'm losing the words. There's one Finn in Bloemfontein. So we have a quick chat sometimes when he's in the country once in a while. But I'm starting to lose it. It's quite a difficult language.
I know that you said I made a mistake earlier when I called you Swedish. And you said, no, they're very different. And one often thinks that those Scandinavian countries sound the same, but they don't, do they?
Of course, the Norwegian, Swedish, Danish, and even Icelandic is Nordic languages. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's even quite a bit of similarities to Afrikaans. There's many words like precis, parkstad, that's exactly the same. But Finnish is a bit of an oddball because it's as part of the Finno-Ugrian group. So that's Finland, Estonia, and Hungarian. They're in the same group, and also the Sami languages. And then there's small minorities along the River Volga in Russia, Marilaiset and Vepsalaiset. So it's a highly complex, from a grammatic perspective, language. Not easy. What is easy is everything is very phonetic, but that you can be quite difficult if you leave out or delay a consonant here and there.
Of course, now I want to hear some Finnish, so let me think. I'll ask you a question which might have a sort of obvious answer, and then you can answer in Finnish.
Gosh,
do you think you'll manage that?
Let's try.
What do you think of the weather in Cape Town at the moment?
Se in Kapkaupunki on ihana, todella.
Which means?
The weather in Cape Town is really nice, really it is.
And do you enjoy the cold winters in Bloemfontein?
Yes, I must say it's.
No, you have to say that in Finnish.
Okay. Kyllä, ehdottomasti.
Gosh, it is. It's a unique sounding language, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite primitive. Mm-hmm. They speak very low. And I think it's quite often when the Finns speaking English, they often translate up a full octave.
Oh.
And it's all these open vowels, so it can be quite brutal. It's wonderful to swear in Finnish, even better than in Afrikaans.
We could ask you for an example, because no one will understand you. My guest is embarrassed to swear on the radio. Let's not do that. But do you find that when you speak Finnish, you take your voice
yes,
down?
Yes, you do it, and automatically, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's quite therapeutic to speak it. It's quite a release with those strong vowels and consonants.
My goodness. Well, that's an interesting angle to this conversation. But we're going to take another piece of music now, Marius, and I see we have a countertenor coming up.
Yes, it's one of my new discoveries. A friend of mine actually introduced me to me, and I must say I'm in principle not fond of countertenors. But this one is a special one. He has a beautiful tone of voice. It's very pure. It's very clear, lyrical quality. He is really a mover, a shaker on the world stage. His name is Jakob Josef Orlinski. And he recently released a CD called Anima Sacra with a band, Le Pomodoro, by the Russian Maxim Emelyanchev. I'm not sure I pronounced that well. And we are going to listen to a wonderful piece by the composer Johann Adolf Hasse, Mia Tormente Propertate.
I think I agree with you, Maurice, that the countertenor sound there is slightly more palatable than it can sometimes be.
Indeed.
Who was that?
Jakob Josef Orlinski.
Singing work by Hasse.
Hasse.
Maurice Kutsia, my guest, from Bloemfontein on People of Note this week. We've been putting Bloemfontein in the spotlight. But, Maurice, we spoke about you in Finland, and you were interested in the sort of administrative side of music. But you yourself are a trained musician, aren't you?
Not really. I must say I tried to play the cello, and there was always a bit of motoric problems. I never did it properly. And I did some singing studies until the third year performance art at the University of Pretoria. But at a really early stage, I thought, well, my passion will lie with the cultural policy and arts administration rather, and the appreciation of music. If you can't do something properly, then focus on something else. And this is really my passion and my calling.
So it sounds like it, Maurice.
On that side of this track, I'm quite happy.
Because you were hugely successful in Bloemfontein, by all accounts, may I say. And also, how long have you been there? It seems as though you've been
there forever. It's already 8 years.
Oh, okay.
8 years too long.
Oh, no, you can't say that. Because what do you do afterwards? Well, we can't discuss your future career here. But as it sounds, though, there's so much going on there that you, with your title, Innovation and Development Manager,
well, I must say,
quite
I can't,
busy.
Can't take all the credit myself. Of course, the Free State Symphony Orchestra, there's quite many, many things. And, of course, the Pochobelu project, which produced many fantastic string players all over the world, run by the American Mr. Peter Guy. It's a developmental project that has been, I think, running for 20 years. Then people like Tilla and Francois Hinkens, I mean, they've produced string players all over the world, and quite a few of them that scientists and not there. I think the wonderful measure point of their success is that all these people still play the violin and the cello.
Mm-hmm.
So they produced many, 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 many students all over the world, and that's studying at international conservatories all over the world. So there's, I must say, there's quite a few wonderful initiatives that has been there for many, many years. And I think, you know, they don't always get the credit they deserve. Hard work, really, the proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the other wonderful thing you're blessed with in Bloemfontein is that auditorium, the Odeon Concert Hall, which is so acoustically wonderful, isn't it? I'm very envious of you.
A 60s apartheid monster, in a way, if you look at the architecture.
Yeah.
But magnificent acoustics, really, really. I think it's a wonderful hall to perform in.
And is the orchestra well supported in Bloemfontein? Do you get your audiences?
Yes, we have a problem of an aging audience. That's not always so good. And we battle, especially in Bloemfontein, to get students there. I don't know why. It's of course, a full-time job. And it's something that we must focus more on, to really get students there and not only aging people. But I think the other thing is also that we present too many concerts that we can contain, actually. You know, there's many concerts. And then we have many orchestras. It's, of course, the 80% the same people, but we used to have, 2 years ago, there was about 6 orchestras. There was the Bloemfontein City Orchestra, there was the Free State Symphony Orchestra, the Free State Youth Orchestra, and I think there's still currently the Mangahung City Orchestra. So I think people might be surprised.
Gosh.
Bit of rivalry there, here and there.
Which
but
is good.
Yeah, people really have opportunities to play, mm-hmm. and I think people don't always realize that. And also for the young students, because they can really enter professional or a semi-professional orchestra at an early age,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful.
Well, Maurice, our time is sort of more or less up, but it's been really quite stimulating talking to you about what's going on in Bloemfontein and the sort of ripple effect it will have. And you've got to come back and tell us about these headphones and the skull thing.
Certainly do that.
What was that called? Did it have a name?
Nero Halo, Halo Nero. I'm not really sure. It's the Nero Halo priming system.
Okay. Well, we'll watch out for that. I was talking to Maurice Kutsia, the Innovation and Development Manager and Artistic Director of the OSM Camerata in Bloemfontein. Maurice, thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And People of Note is brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions.
This March, Peter Turin presents Peter Schaffer's internationally acclaimed hit play, Equus. Starring Graham Hopkins and Sven Reichrock, with direction by Fred Abramser and movement by Mark Goldberg. For those who loved it, for those who missed it, catch this multi-award-winning play from the 29th of March until the 20th of April. That's Equus, only at Theatre on the Bay. Book now.